Today I'm a little bit buzzy, and I'm buzzy because I feel like this message that I'm carrying has been brewing for a little while, and so I'm really glad who's in the room, because you're in the room for this day. And this almost feels like, are we recording, Dawn? Awesome. This feels like a message that is going to be big for us, and it's for our region as well. So if you're amongst us, because you're visiting, catch it as well. Or maybe you're already leading us into it. So I'm kind of going to go through fairly directly, because the Lord's just kind of mapped out some stuff for today. And at the end, I just feel like there's a big response that we're able to give to him as a part of what he's giving. So I'm actually standing prophetically today and calling us into something, okay? There's a few of you that already have words that God's been ministering already, which is giving me great courage to stand really and make an announcement to you on behalf of God. So let's start. Turn to Exodus 3. We're going to start by looking at Moses and some encounters that he had, and we're going to move through what he actually experienced as he discovered the God of compassion and graciousness. And we're looking at a burning heart. Moses had a burning heart, and he also got hit by an angel that lit up a bush, a burning bush. Remember that? So we're going to move through some of these encounters. Some of my thoughts are actually shaped by a guy called Alan Scott, who's a Vineyard pastor, and he's just given language that has really opened something up fresh for me. And so some of it you might recognize if you've read his book, Scattered Servants. That's who we are, scattered servants for our region. So Exodus 3 we're looking at. Today the message is from courage, take courage to connect to compassion. Take courage to connect to compassion. So here's Moses. We're thinking about him. He grew up surrounded by great wealth, by great opulence, and he had several servants as well who were ensuring that his desire was fulfilled. He had high status. He had an amazing status in his and influence, and maybe a little bit of pride as well at that stage of his life. And he found inside him there was something awakening, and it was a justice issue, because he realized that everything that he had came and was built on oppression, on slavery. Everything that he'd been given was because he had been part of slavery and oppression. And it was almost a little bit too real to know that he owned it through that way. And so he killed an oppressor. He killed someone that was a tyrant. Compassion caused him to murder, caused him to do something about it, caused him to take an action, because compassion leads to action. Compassion, by its very meaning, is something that grips our guts and moves us from the insides and propels us out. So on the surface, Moses looked like he was doing and activating something that was very godly. He was looking like he was bringing the strength he had to bring justice to his area and to his oppression. And he was inspired, but no one was supporting him. He went out on his own. So on the surface, it looked good. He was governed by the right motive. But he discovered that he was isolated as he went out to reach others. And the wider community around him didn't follow him to that place of activism. The wider community didn't respond to the hope that he was offering in that moment. And so his early efforts to bring an end to injustice instead brought him into a place of fatigue and brokenness and to the wilderness. He fled. So he started with this thing that gripped his guts, and it was right to bring justice. But he acted to help the marginalized, those who were oppressed. Those that were among him didn't respond in the same way. And he ended up out on his own, burnt out, fatigued, and he'd lost his hope. When things don't go well for us, even if we have the best intentions, right, we can actually end up in brokenness and disappointments And it robs us of the real thing that's going on with us. And so we disconnect because we don't feel like that. And it breaks our connection with God, with community, and with the cause. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever known anyone that felt like that? Where they became so fatigued by their activism because they didn't have the power of God strengthening them in the way that it should. Maybe you're in that place now. Maybe you have the need to find courage again to connect to compassion. Turn over to Exodus 3. This is the burning bush story. So here's Moses in verse 1, Exodus 3. He's tending the flock of his father-in-law. He's led this flock to the far side of the wilderness, as far as he can from people, right? That's where he is after that amazing input of trying to be freed from oppression. And he comes to the mountain of God, Horeb. There's an angel of the Lord there. And the angel of the Lord in chapter 3 appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire and he saw that it did not burn up. Something was going on. So Moses thought, I will go over there to this strange sight. Why is this bush not burning up? When the Lord saw Moses turn towards the bush, God called from him within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Yesterday we did a timeline to remember the God of 1996, the God of 2001, the God of 2005, all those timelines that we're talking about, the stories, that God is still with us. The Lord said, so Moses hid his face, and because of this, he was afraid to look at God. Listen to what the Lord said. I have indeed seen the misery of the people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. Did you hear what he said? Moses started out of his own strength and now he's having an encounter with God. And this is what the Lord's saying. I have indeed seen this. I have heard it. I've heard the crying of the people that are under slavery, that are marginalized. And I am concerned, he's saying. I'm concerned about the suffering. God's on board, but he's doing it in a holy way. This is what he says. So God says, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land. It's not just Moses being rescued. The whole community is coming. God's intervening. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, God says, and I have seen the Egyptians and I've seen the way that they're being oppressing my people. Next three words, really important. So now, go. Who's he talking to? Moses. Moses is in the middle of an encounter and God's saying, I've seen it, I've heard it, I'm concerned. You go. Second time that Moses has got something that's coming to him that is going to release other people. God visited this burned out activist. God visited him and reminded him, I'm concerned for people and for their good. And in that place, he restored Moses back to his original calling. He restored him not just with the gut-wrenching compassion, he restored him with power. True encounter. He couldn't operate in his own anger. He couldn't operate in his own strength. He needed to have the power of God with him, and he was getting it through a burning bush encounter. His burning heart was receiving the fire of God to propel him with power. For us, we're going to experience encounters that are going to propel us into the community and into our own spaces with our families. And this time it's going to be different. because the power of God is going to continue to refresh us and renew us and fuel us. He's the source. To sustain any compassion that we have as a church, anything that he's leading us into for 2020, it has to come from the source. And so we're going to have a look at, what is this God that sustains compassion? He actually names himself in Exodus chapter 4. Let's go there before we go to where he names himself. Exodus chapter 4, turn over. This is when Moses is saying, oh, I think I get it. And in verses 1 to 5, he says, but what if they don't believe me? What if we get to connect with this compassion and we're like Moses saying, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? Because before that happened, right? So he's saying, what's going to happen, Lord? Is it going to be the same? Then the Lord said to him in chapter 4, what's that in your hand? Do you remember this? The Lord said, it was a staff, yeah? So he's holding a stick. So the Lord said, throw that on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. This, said the Lord, this is so that they may believe. That the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Moses had a fresh encounter, and then he was given power with what's in his hand. He was going to move beyond just raising awareness that something's wrong here. He had something in his hand. This morning when we were praying in this lovely room out here, and I tell you, that chapter before the service in that prayer room is pretty fun. God always confirms and does stuff. Today, people didn't know that this is where we're going, but today we were receiving something in our hands. Some of it felt like oil on our hands. Some of it felt like just tingling. We all experienced today something in our hand. Something's coming, guys, that's going to renew our connection to courage for compassion. So raising awareness is not enough. The purpose of compassion is not just empathy. The purpose of compassion is transformation. It's making sure that transformation is possible and sustainable through the power of God in and through you. This is the message that and the lesson that Moses was learning, that if you want to move to the margins in your own strength and end up burned out, do it the way that he did it first on his own. If you want to be buried under others' approval or disapproval, do it that first way on your own. But if you want to receive power through community to lead out into the marginalized, they are also going to experience community. The message today is that the power is for community, to bring the marginalized into community. If you're going out on your own, you can't bring community in the same way. We can go out with compassion and power, but we must bring them back to community. That's the aim for our Father. So let's have a look at the connection between compassion and courage. Compassion has its heart, origins, and source from the heart of God, right? Now turn to Exodus 34. And this becomes a declaration of compassion. It's the very first time that we hear God self-disclose who he is. And the first thing he says, I'm Yahweh, in Exodus 34. And he says, I am the compassionate and gracious one. Order is really important. That's the first thing he discloses as himself. I am the compassionate and gracious one. That verse then gets repeated so many times through the Bible because that is the first time that God discloses fully who he is, compassionate and gracious. So we're just going to dig into that because if you want to get to know someone, you normally go and ask questions to them, don't you? You normally say, tell me more about yourself. I don't say to Gail up the back there and say, can you tell me more about Keith? I actually go and say, hey, Keith, how are you? And I talk to him, right? often as Christians, we wait for someone and we'll use someone else to tell us about God. And Moses had got it by now. And he, instead of going to someone else, he says to God, "Would you show me your glory?" Do you remember that on the mountain? He says, "Would you show me who you are? Would you make it tangible, visible, obvious that you are with me?" And God said, "I'm compassionate and gracious." Compassionate and gracious. He was actually describing himself. And that now is the thing that we get to experience. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Just going to take three examples that are going to show this phrase and this declaration of who God is very, very important. And so that's why God's renewing it for us right now. And he's saying that compassion often is translated merciful. You've heard that, yeah? But embedded in that meaning of compassion, so funny, is female wound. You know, womb. Not wound. Female womb. Where you actually feel something in your guts. But it's also an expression of feeling like a mother towards her child, towards her infant. You ever had that experience of God towards you? That's how he feels about you. Compassion is a feeling word. 1 Kings chapter 3. Oh my goodness, this is a really quirky story. Really quirky. This is where two mums come and say that baby is mine. And they're both trying to say, someone's stolen my baby. And there's King Solomon, who is the wisest of all decision-making. And we've heard of him, right? He wrote the book of Proverbs. And we know that King Solomon is very wise because this is what he did. Both of them were claiming to be the mother of this child. And King Solomon thought, no DNA tests to prove that in this world. Let's see. And he said this, "Cut the baby in half and each of you can have half." That should flesh out the real parent, right? That's feeling for their child. So immediately the true mother in that story in 1 Kings was deeply moved for her son to live. So she said to the king what? She said, no, give the baby to her. I want my son to live. Remember that quirky story? That's compassion. That's compassion. That the mum was so deeply moved, felt so motherly love for her child, she was willing to sacrifice and give it up. So turn to Isaiah 49. Here's another example of that inner feeling that God has described as compassion. 49:15 in Isaiah. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you, declares the Lord." It's coming from a place of deep feeling for us. And he's saying that's what compassion's like. And the third one, if you're wanting to know about this compassion that is moved from the Lord, Psalm 103, verses 8 and 13, quotes the same Exodus 34 bit. So this is where I said it keeps popping up because it's important. And this is what it says, Psalm 103, verse 8. "The Lord, Yahweh, is compassionate and gracious." Those words go together. They're important. "Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." And then the writer of Psalm 103 in verse 13 goes on to say, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on you." You get it? It's the way a parent feels towards a child. It's deep. There is no love like a parent towards a child. So compassion is a big feeling word. And for some of us, it's time to feel again. It's time to feel again. Feel again. It's time to feel that connection, and it's time to feel the power that will lead you to different places. And it's time to be courageous to connect to that kind of love again. So, compassionate and gracious. Let's quickly look at gracious. Gracious is not a feeling word, it's an action word. So he's put two things together, feeling and action. Gracious means to show grace, to show favor. For some of us, it's action time again. It's time to do something. It's time to bring help. Gracious is an action word. Let's turn to Exodus 22. Here's an example of gracious. If you take your neighbor's cloak, in verse 26, as a pledge, return it by sunset, because that cloak is the only thing covering your neighbor. What else will he have to sleep in? When they cry out to me, God says, I will hear, for I am gracious. So here the gracious word is used in a way that was acting. If you loan something, you make sure you return it to those that are poor. They all need it at night. Don't be the oppressor. Be actioning your graciousness. Psalm 86. Here it is again. Exodus 34 is being quoted again in Psalm 86. You, O Lord, are a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. So not only is there the declaration, his prayers are totally impacted by who God is. So our prayers are going to be coming more like these prayers, where we're receiving, God, be gracious to us, and then we're praying, turn to me, Lord, and make me like you. Turn to me and be gracious to me and give me your strength, it says in Psalm 86. For the God who is responsive, he wants to do something to you, through you, and for you on behalf of others. So you are going to have encounters. You're going to have prayers shaped by your encounters, and you're going to know him by name. And today he's saying, I'm compassionate and gracious to you. Is Joanne here today? And she usually sits over here. Not here today? Yes, stand up. The Holy Spirit is all over this lady. She's been experiencing encounters, right? In your bedroom, in your home, correct? And it's changing your prayer life, isn't it? Can you say that Jesus came close to you recently through a healing encounter? Yeah, she's saying very close for the podcast. Just have a look at Joanne. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and rest upon her, okay? Because she's just a firelighter at the moment, because she's had so many encounters. So Holy Spirit, just put your hands out, Joanne. Thank you for what you've been doing in her private times with you, the encounters that have been coming. And so now, Joanne, just receive more of his spirit for you that's going to fuel your prayers. There it is. You see that, everyone? She's just receiving and responding to what is already part of her story. She's been praying for situations that have changed because of the encounters she's had. So I just bless you with more. And we're going to hear more of your story, but not today. So yeah, just keep receiving. She's bubbling with story out of encounter. And her prayers are changing. Thank you for standing and being here today. So when we come before God, we're expecting a God who feels, and we're expecting a God who acts. We're just going to quickly move now into another story, and I'm going to invite David Breen to come up. Yes, you, David. Give him a welcome. Did you see that?
We were meeting at our little life group a couple of months ago, and we just spent some time in meditation, and we went through the story of Jesus and the disciples. So they were sitting together in the story in John 20 and 21 by the Sea of Galilee. So the boys had been out in the boat out on the water, and Jesus had been on the beach and invited them to come and join him. And so they had a little fire and they had some fish and they had a time together sitting around. This was after the resurrection, and the disciples were quite stunned that Jesus was there. They were just like sitting around the fire, staring at him with just jaws open, couldn't quite believe that Jesus was there. And so in that evening together, we just meditated on that story. And so we just sat and imagined ourselves as being in that situation, as if we were actually sitting around the fire with those disciples. And so we put ourselves in that situation, and I just said, imagine you're there. Imagine you're seeing the fire, you're smelling the fish, you're seeing Jesus, you're experiencing the sand in your toes, the wind on your face. And we just put ourselves as if we were in that very moment. And as I read it through and we thought about it and encased ourselves in that environment, in that moment with Jesus being right there. The next morning when I got up, and I regularly spend time with the Lord in the morning just meditating, just being in silence in the Lord's presence. And as I did that, I just put myself back into that environment and that situation. But I saw myself standing here at the front of YVV on a Sunday morning, and I saw myself dressed in the garments like the disciples would have been, and there was another person with me. So there were two of us. I don't know who the other person was. But in that picture, I saw myself telling this other disciple about how we'd been sitting around the fire and how it had been like we'd been out fishing and then we'd been invited to come in and sit around the fire and how amazing it was that we were there and that Jesus actually was there. And we didn't expect him to come, but he came anyway. And as I was laying there on the floor imagining this and imagining that I was telling you all about that, then I was dressed in this thing, all of a sudden, as I was imagining telling you that story, I saw Jesus standing right here at the front of the church, dressed in the same things. He didn't say anything. He just appeared. And I just was shocked. And I immediately started just crying and just weeping my eyes out, just bawling, aware that Jesus was standing right here at the front with us in church. And one of the things that was really clear to me was that as we were talking about sitting around the fire, we were discussing the fact that, well, we didn't know when Jesus would turn up. We didn't know when he would come because he just appeared. Suddenly he was there at the campsite, at the fireside, and we didn't expect him, but we knew that when he came, he would show us what to do. He would tell us what we needed to know and what would be next for us. Because as disciples, we'd been fishing, we didn't know what to do. He died and, you know, he'd come back to life again. We didn't know. But in that situation, I became aware that Jesus was coming to be here with us and that he would show us what to do. And then he just turned up and was there saying, yes, I will show you what I want you to do. So it was awesome.
Wow. Thank you, David. When he shared that story, just like when Joanne shared some of her stories, when we hear about encounters, we actually can step into them as well because now we can see it. And so I want you, as we go into this next part of closing, I want you to be aware Jesus is here ministering to us already. He's here. So if you need to just receive this next bit with your eyes closed and him allowing you to receive from him, he's the one. He's the teacher. He's much more important than what I'm saying. So if you need to go there, you go there. So we could track through the scriptures of all the times that he showed compassion. But basically, through that story today, I believe he's saying that I didn't refuse to send any of my followers out to care for the people with bruised lives without power. You go to the bruised lives with power. You go to the bruised lives like Matthew 10:1, where Jesus says he gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt ones. It's both in your hands. It's both acts of mercy with sufficient power to release the oppressed. Connection and courage to connect to his compassion is going to change you and your world. If you have any barriers to compassion, it's going to affect your connection. If you have any barriers to connection, it's going to affect your compassion. It's going to be different this time. It's going to be different this time. So just because I'm aware of time, stay in that place, but there's just one area that as humans, we always are affected by a thing called self-protection. And Jesus is already starting to identify isolation in us, and he wants to break it and bring connection. And so self-protection is a place where we feel safe. Self-protection's a thief and a robber. It's a lie. Self-protection is a place where you will no longer be engaged fully with love and life if you are protecting yourself from bad or if you're protecting yourself from good. So to have courage to connect to compassion, we need to trade in our tools of self-protection that have worked for us. And we need to move beyond self-protection to protecting your connection. Move from beyond self-protection to the goal is protecting your connection. Moses changed. The second time he had an encounter with God, he did it differently. He protected that connection and he went to Pharaoh and things happened. There was a release into freedom for those people who followed him there. If you grew up with self-protection in your toolkit, God's saying today, it's time to get connected again. You can allow those things, those tools, trade them in, lay them down, let them go, and identify them as something that needs to be dismantled. You don't need to self-protect. We are a community that's creating a safe place to bring those who need community and love. So if you're in a place where you feel fatigued or bruised and feel like you're running to the wilderness, that's probably for self-protection. If you're in a place where you're running to God, that's protecting your connection. So we can have goals of actually keeping distance from people, and we firmly protect those goals, right? There are times where we actually choose not to connect because our goal is keeping your distance. If you don't have courage to dismantle the self-protection, this compassion won't get in because it's a feeling word. And graciousness won't be expressed because it's a doing word. So God's just kindly coming today to remind us, protect your connection. Hold on to the goal of connection with people, with community and with Him, and then fight for connection. We are not going to lose the battle of being connected. We've seen what that looks like. We're not going to do that again. We're fighting for it. We're being resilient. We're being intentional. And we've made the first half of this year all about connection. Jesus is among us today. He's visited David, and now we've even had that invitation to say, compassion and grace is going to break isolation. Any of you that are feeling isolation still, connection's the way to go. Because the truth is, you're so worthy of love. You're so wired for love. And He wants you to know and see and feel that He is there on your behalf. So if you need some practicals, just start practicing connection. Lay that stuff down that's not working. Bring your prayer life and to people that you trust. So you're praying with people. It's a point of connection then with God and others. Do the simple stuff. Communicate truth. That's a point of connection. What's happening for you? Find someone safe and communicate. It's protecting connection. And find someone who has a need and meet it. It's compassion in action. So as we finish today, this is a simple message. See a need and meet it, just like God did. See a hurt and heal it. See a need and meet it. See a hurt and heal it. That's what we're called to do out of our source of God.